O God, may our thirst lead us onward. May our thirst guide us to that well of living water that you offer us freely if only we trust. Embrace us in your love and hold us as your people in these times of our testing. In Jesus' name we pray. It is high noon, and Jacob, fresh from his dream of God's presence, arrives finally to the well in the land of his mother's people and sees Rachel coming with her father's sheep. Even though all the herds have not gathered and it's actually not the right time, Jacob rolls away the stone from the well for Rachel and waters all of the sheep. Under the heat of another unrelenting sun, the people wander in the wilderness, asking again if God is even in this place, whether this exodus in wilderness was really worth it when they are so thirsty, longing for home and an end to their struggle. They cry out in their difficulty to Moses, saying, "Why did you even bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" And so God says to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." The people cry out for water and their thirst is quenched. Not just their physical thirst, but their thirst for a sign, some way of knowing that God has not abandoned them in their time of testing and wilderness. Centuries pass, and so it is that Jesus comes. He too is thirsty. After his late-night talk with Nicodemus, he has traveled up the dry, hot lands into Samaria and stops in Sychar. Jacob's well is there, and Jesus, tired out from his journey, sits by the well at about noon. And a Samaritan woman comes to draw water, and Jesus says, "Give me a drink." At the well where Jacob has met his beloved and watered her sheep, Jesus reaches out in his thirst to another. And in that moment, lives are watered, nourished, and strengthened, and God's presence is named and affirmed. Jesus, who had just said to Nicodemus, "God so loved the world," puts this into action as he moves out of the comfort of Jerusalem into the land of ones who were seen to be on the outside of that circle. He breaks social and gender and ethnic boundaries to call this woman to be a disciple, to leave her water bucket like others have left nets and families and proclaim the truth that will set her free. However, he's not the only one breaking expectations and traditional roles. In an essay called A Postcolonial Reading of the Samaritan Woman, Lynn St. Clair Darden describes the woman who comes to the well, in contrast to Nicodemus who comes at night, as one who walks not only in the light, but at a time when the light has reached its apex at high noon. She is the woman clothed in sun and presents a bold woman, audacious even, who affirms her culture and her religious heritage. Jesus asks for water. And perhaps he too is not just thinking of water from a well, but a wellspring of trust that bubbles up when you turn to that true source. And so in answer to the question, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus responds, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is asking you, you instead would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she says to him, but sir, you have no bucket. The well is deep. Where will you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and flocks drank from it? But Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And so she responds, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty. Jesus looks into the heart of her thirst. Looks into the heart of her trust and self-offering and names her pain, names her marginalization as he asks her, go and call your husband and come back. And she answers, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you are right, for you have had 5 husbands and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. Jesus names her truth, not in condemnation, but in liberation. Seeing beyond the isolation and pain of her circumstances to the beauty and strength beneath. And you can almost hear her intake of breath and the exhale as she hears the deeper truth beyond all of the circumstances of her life. As she feels her true life begin to spring forth. As she is set free, she opens to a greater liberation of not only herself, but her people and her faith. And so she says to him, sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the people must worship in Jerusalem. Jesus says to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when we will worship God neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The hour is coming and it is here now when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. The woman says, I know the Messiah is coming. Jesus says to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. And so she leaves her water jar and goes back to the city and says to the people, come and see. Jesus says to her, I am. This is the first of the great I am statements in John. A radical and earth-shaking alignment of Jesus with the great I Am, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob and Rachel. And it is here in the hospitality of a Samaritan woman that Jesus asks for what he needs and offers what he has, and his identity is revealed. Jesus reveals his deepest identity to her. He is the I Am. He participates in and communicates the very being of God. But as John Shea reminds us, the most amazing truth of I Am is that it is simultaneously that you may be. God's very being is self-communication. So when Jesus is tapping into his ultimate identity as the Word, he gives to her the understanding of God's being and love. She now knows who is saying to her, "Give me a drink." He has given her living water. The Sufi mystic and poet Rumi writes, "Not only the thirsty seek the water as well seeks the thirsty." Jesus, the living water, seeks for all of us who thirst and comes to us thirsty for our trust, thirsty for us to know him and be deeply known, offering us a living spring of water gushing up to eternal life. This is the third Sunday of Lent. And perhaps, like the Hebrew people, we want to cry out that we were better off in Egypt, that this desert of longing and uncertainty is too much for us to bear. Maybe in the midst of the chaos of empty toilet paper aisles and endless social media posts about the latest news, we wonder if God is even in this place. But it is to this very place we see God already here. The God who has gone ahead of us to stand at the seemingly impenetrable rock and let water gush forth. Who will in Jesus name the deepest truth of who we are and in turn reveal the true source of our hope, our strength, our life. The Apostle Paul, speaking to his struggling community, reminds them and us that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. We also boast in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is not some don't worry, be happy kind of hope, but a hope that is placed on the one who was thirsty and who suffered and who walks so closely with us in this time of deep unrest. The one who pours the water of love and comfort into our hearts, whether we are isolated in our rooms or working the overcrowded hospitals or facing our own restlessness and fear. It is hope in the one who will lay down his life so that our fear and our violence and our death will never have the final word. And who, like Jacob at the well watering the sheep, will roll away the stone and offer us new life again and again and again. The Samaritan woman leaves her bucket, leaves everything to proclaim the truth she has found within herself and within Jesus. And she runs, saying, "Come and see, God is in this place." Today, my beloved community, come and see. Come and see the one who offers us all that God is, who has poured out the fullness of God into human form, who comes to us thirsty, and who is poured out as a stream of living water for us to drink deep from. May we breathe. May we take this cool water and let the peace that passes all understanding flow into and from us as we go to be the hands and feet of Christ into this thirsty world. Amen.